Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 27th day of August 2014. Happy anniversary for the 26th year to my lovely wife, Claire Ann. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. We'll take a look at the agricultural cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons out of the Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana. Discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and hear Daryl Good's thoughts on the commodity marketplace, corn consumption in the coming year, and he does happen to mention a corn low. It all comes up during this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures like this, the nearby contract in the September corn was unchanged at $3.56. December at $3.65, unchanged as well in the March corn contract at $3.78 and a quarter. That was down a quarter of a cent. May futures at $3.86 and a half, down a quarter. In July, down a quarter at $3.93 and a quarter on its settlement price. December of next year at $4.07 and a half. Down a half cent in the March of 2016. We'll go all the way out, down a quarter of a cent at $4.16 for the day. From the bean pit, nearby contract finished up 10 and a quarter cents at $10.85 and three quarters. November at $10.23 and three quarters, down 4 and a quarter. January soybeans at $10.31 and three quarters, 3 and three quarters lower in the March at $10.39 and a quarter, down 3 cents. May down 3 at $10.45 for the day. In July at $10.49 and three quarters, down 3. Next year's November at $10.36 and a quarter, it also finished down 3/4 of a cent. Livestock futures in the live cattle August contract 47.5 cents lower at $153.07 and a half. October at $147.72 and a half, down 52.5 cents. Feeder cattle finished the October at $211.85, down 62.5 cents. And the lean hogs on this day finished the October at $95.97 and a half. That was up 87.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. The energies are trading crude oil at $93.82 a barrel. That's 4 cents lower in the October contract. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.85 and 9 cents. That's a penny and 4 tenths higher for the day. Gasoline on the wholesale price, the RBOB, at $2.73 and 2 cents. 3 cents lower for the afternoon. And natural gas trading at $3.97 and 4 cents. That's up 6 and 3 tenths. Ethanol futures at $2.15 and 7 tenths of a cent on its settlement price, up 3 and 2 tenths of a cent. Taking a look at what's been happening with the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 17,081, just about 16 points lower. The gold futures down $2.25 at $1,282. And the silver at 1938 unchanged. U.S. dollar in the index at 82.45 is down 0.22. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. This comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area on this Wednesday afternoon. A 30% chance of showers, some thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high of 83 degrees for the day, and northeast winds at about 7 miles an hour on today. And then tonight, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 66. Thursday, a 40% chance of showers, mainly after 1 in the afternoon, partly sunny and a high near 85. Southeast winds at about 6 miles an hour. And then on Thursday night, mostly cloudy and 69. Friday, sunny with a high of 88. Friday night, a 40% chance of showers and some thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 69. On Saturday, more thunderstorms, a few showers, mostly cloudy and 84 degrees. Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms, likely mostly cloudy and 68. And Sunday, we'll see a chance of showers, some thunderstorms, partly sunny and 82 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
This is the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line now with us to take a look at the futures markets is Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Now, tell me about the marketplace as you've seen it today. One of the interesting things I think I saw was that in the corn pit, we had unchanged endings in the September and December contract. I don't remember the last time that really happened.
No, it's actually been quite a while. There's no question about that. You know, we're headed into first notice day for the September contracts. That'll be on Friday. And I think September beans is probably the best example of what happens if you stay in too long, because we were down to 4,545 contracts this morning, and they're just squeezing them is what they're doing. So September corn still has 74,000 left in there as far as open interest goes. So, you don't know exactly what's going to happen on that side, but I can't remember the last time. I told Dave this morning, I'll say the same thing to you. Can you hear me yawn? I mean, you know, because that's kind of the way these markets have been, and yet you would expect that. We're headed into a Labor Day holiday. You see positions squaring because of that. Some guys leave early. You know, if they hold shares, they've got to be out of their positions. So, you know, you just I don't think anybody really has a good feel for what's going on. So we got first notice day coming. We've got the holiday coming. We have fighting going on in Russia and Ukraine. You know, there's just so many things in the background. So it's become more of a day trading market than it actually has anything else. If you notice every day, we do about the same thing. You know, we'll either trade down and come back up, and in most cases trade down and come back up, trade up overnight, go down early on, and then they come back in and buy some more back in, and at the end of the day they square up again. So it's there just isn't enough information out there right now.
Is this one of those times where you get an opportunity to talk to your clientele because of the lack of interest in the marketplace and lack of movement in the marketplace, that it's quiet enough that you can really talk to them about marketing plans for the coming year, and what is it that you discuss with them in those cases?
Well, you know, we've talked for a long time about, you know, hedging 15 and especially about being on top of what's happening with 14. You know, the biggest case right now is basis. You know, if you looked at Decatur basis for beans today, they were 375 over November. You know, if you're sitting on any old crop beans, how much of an opportunity do you ever think you were going to have $14 for beans again? And it's not going to be here long. Central Illinois was at $3 last week. It's at $2 this week. You know, when they get what they want, they're going to go down. But I talked to them about things like from August 26th to September 26th, 2013. Let's look at what happened. Dec 13 lost 43¾ cents. November beans lost 72¾ cents. It certainly says that this would have implications. You know, when you have traders are looking back to prior years. We better review how much we have sold and what we've done, whether we've locked basis or not. In that same period, we saw December 14, which would be the equivalent of December 15 this year, lost 32 cents, and November beans lost 54. Again, another reason we've been talking a great deal about putting some hedges in place on 15. And then, you know, on top of that, all right, we're going to find a bottom here. There's going to be a bottom coming. If you look back to DSO 9, we bottomed around the 8th of September. We're running, if you compare that chart, we're running about 2 weeks behind what they were doing, which would say that we may bottom somewhere around the middle of September. I mean, how much more information can we put into this market beyond the USDA report and the FSA numbers that may totally crush it? It's hard to say. Am I saying we're going to stay right here? No, I don't think so. I think we'll work our way lower. But at the same time, if we get to a point where it appears that we've got enough information to say we put a bottom in, I'd say we go back and we come in here and we buy some calls and we buy some futures. Because if you look back to 09, and so often, we put an early bottom in a year like this, and then we rally right into October, which is crop insurance month. And so what we're telling people is we're saying get yourself prepared. When we come back and say we're going to lift some of these puts that we've got, we're going to buy calls or futures to try and offset the potential loss that there is on crop insurance. And some people say, well, I'm not going to get any crop insurance because I you know, because I have too many bushels. Well, this could offset some of the cost of crop insurance per acre. So, you know, there's a lot of different strategies that you can use. But it's interesting. One thing I'll tell you, Todd, that we've been hearing a lot of from a lot of guys who were heavily corn, that they're switching over to beans. And they've been hedging that way. You know, they've been putting hedges in place for 15 on beans with the idea that they plan on planting beans. And we're certainly hearing that in a lot of different places. Farm Futures came out today, said 2.1% increase. They bumped bean acres for next year up to 86.8. Now, a little early to be doing that, but those are the things you need to be talking about.
Right. We'll take that up. I'm actually looking forward to taking this up with you tonight. We'll be at the Seed Shed this evening, along with Gary Schnitke and Wayne Nelson. We'll have a larger discussion on this particular part of the marketplace, and we're kind of in a hurry this afternoon because it's a 5 o'clock meeting down there near Effingham and Ashmore, and I'm hopeful that we'll have a really big turnout. Last night, by the way, Jackie, I was in Sherman at the Farm Credit Building there and had 150 in that meeting to take up the ARC and PLC decision. Gary Schnitke will do that tonight, so should be a really good set of meetings, and I'm glad you're going to be coming along tonight to help explain what it all means in terms of marketing plans for the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you this evening then.
Sounds good.
Okay,
we'll
thanks so much. Yep.
Thank you.
That
is bye-bye.
Jackie Vank. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County and joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Again, we will be in Ashmore. That starts at 5 o'clock tonight at the Seed Shed. That's visible on the north side of the road just to the east of Ashmore. I had to think about that for a moment. And the Seed Shed's a pretty good-sized restaurant there. So if you get a chance, be sure to come by and visit us.
In agricultural news, the 2014 Illinois Society of Professional Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers Mid-Year Survey shows that during the first half of 2014, farmland prices decreased modestly. For the first half of 2014, respondents indicated that land values decreased by 2% for excellent quality farmland, decreased by 3.7% for good quality farmland, decreased by 4.1% for average quality farmland, and decreased by 6% for fair quality farmland. On July 1, 2014, farmland prices averaged $13,000 for excellent quality farmland, $10,700 for good quality farmland, $8,600 for average quality farmland, and $6,700 for fair quality farmland. Excellent quality farmland averages over 190 bushels of corn per acre. Good quality farmland averages between 170 and 190 bushels per acre. Average quality farmland averages between 150 and 170 bushels per acre. And fair quality farmland averages below 150 bushels per acre. The survey also shows that most respondents expect stable to modestly declining farmland prices over the next 12 months. 2% expect farmland prices to increase between 1 and 5%. 14% expect farmland prices to remain the same. 55% expect farmland prices to decrease between 1 and 5%. And 29% expect farmland prices to decrease between 6 and 10%. The survey also shows that 2015 cash rents will be lower. The average decrease is expected to be $33 to the acre. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Deb Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. Now, up next, you know, farmers have an old saying about commodity prices. It goes something like this: high prices cure high prices, or as is the case for corn today, low prices cure low prices. I'll have more in a moment on the low price of corn and the prospect for it to turn higher.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The August 25 edition of Darrell Good's Weekly Outlook from the University of Illinois explores the consumption of corn. In it, he wonders if the low price of corn will cause three primary demand areas to increase consumption over the coming 12 months. These are corn used to feed livestock, corn used to make ethanol, and corn exported to other nations. We'll start with feed. The only hard data on the amount of corn fed to livestock in the United States is actually soft data, and that comes as an estimate, not surveyed numbers, in the grain stocks report released by USDA once a quarter. The next report, that's due September the 30th. USDA derives the amount of feed used primarily from weekly, monthly, and quarterly USDA reports of livestock and poultry inventories. That is, USDA back figures the amount of feed used based on the number of animals counted. Feed use of corn will not receive much support from the beef sector, writes Darrell Good in the Weekly Outlook. The liquidation of the cow herd and the smaller calf crops of the past few years means there are fewer cattle available for feeding, and that deficit will continue for an extended period. The poultry and dairy sectors, however, they appear to be experiencing some very modest expansion. The USDA reports the number of broiler chicks placed for meat production during the 2 weeks ended August the 16th, was up 2% and 1% respectively, compared to placements of a year earlier. 2 weeks, of course, do not constitute a trend, so the placements will continue to be followed closely to determine if expansion is actually underway. The average number of layers has also been running 1% to 2% above those of a year ago each month this year, and the USDA also reported that milk cow numbers in 23 selected states were up about 1% in July. Well, the most uncertainty about livestock production comes from the hog sector, with USDA reporting the June 1 inventory of market hogs 5% smaller than the inventory of a year earlier. But producers expected to increase the number of sows farrowed by 4% in June to September quarter. And then, of course, there is PDV and its impact on the number of piglets weaned. USDA's monthly livestock slaughter report showed a 7% year-over-year decline in hog slaughter in July. However, that decline was partially offset by a 5% increase in average slaughter weight. Finally, Darrell Good writes, since the feed consumption of corn includes an unknown and sometimes surprising residual component, only the quarterly stocks estimates will provide a measure of actual disappearance. Next up is ethanol. It now appears domestic ethanol production for this marketing year will be a record setter, chewing through something like 5.13 billion bushels of corn. Ethanol production and corn consumption during the year ahead should continue to be supported at a high level, with the strength of ethanol production for exports likely to determine whether expansion continues. Speaking of exports, sales of U.S. corn for exports during the coming marketing year are reported at 365 million bushels as of the 14th day of August. Sales are about 50 million bushels smaller than those of a year ago, but still 60 million bushels larger than the average for the years from 2008 to 2012. Last year, China had purchased 117 million bushels of U.S. corn by this time, compared to essentially none this year. Sales to unknown destinations are also down some 40 million bushels. On the other hand, sales to Japan and South America destinations are larger than those of a year ago. What does it mean? Darrell Good says, and he writes this, there are some early signs that corn consumption during the year ahead will increase modestly in response to lower prices. However, that response is not yet large enough to offset the impact of the market expectation of an even larger corn crop than forecast by USDA August 12th. Corn prices are expected to stay under some pressure at least through USDA's September 11th crop production report. The size of the corn crop forecast in that report, says the U of I ag economist, will be important in determining whether the low may already be in the corn market. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Vice President of Research, Steve Fried from ADM Investor Services. He's in the ADM tent on the Farm Progress Show site in Boone, Iowa. That continues today and tomorrow this week. And he has an update as to what things are like there on the site and what producers have been asking him about. Hi, Steve. Thanks for being with us today. What's the weather like in Boone, Iowa today?
Well, there was a professional word, glob of rain, that was heading towards the Farm Progress Show, but it kind of slowed down and then headed south. So everything here is really good.
Excellent. So what are you talking to them about in terms of farmers, that is, things that they should be considering for the coming year?
We're trying to break the year into threes. The nearby, we're trying to figure out how big the crops are and how low is low. I got an email from Central Illinois around Springfield today that dry corn is being harvested at 110-day corn at 250 to 270 bushels. And we've seen a lot of emails coming out of the Delta in the south where soybean yields are approaching 90 bushels per acre. And here in Iowa, when you drive around, you see some SDS starting to show up in the beans. So I think it's late enough that it's not going to be an economic situation. And the farmers here in Iowa say their corn is not going to be as good as it could have been. But in total, I think the farmers are looking at some of the best yields they've seen ever.
And you suggested you were breaking the year down into three segments. What are those three segments?
First, nearby is how low is low. I mean, seasonally, you make lows in corn in November, and beans, you may not make them until March. And so we're just trying to figure out, you know, what that yield is going to be, how low is low. And in the first half of 2015, we're just going to see how much demand comes back, what kind of growing conditions there are in South America, and see if we can see any bounce. And then in the last half of 2015, if farm futures came out and said there'll be more bean acres, less corn acres next year. Not by a lot of a margin, but if we grow another good crop next year, then we're looking for lower prices in the fall of 2015.
So it's how low is low, what happens to demand, and then finally for marketing in the springtime. Is that correct?
Yep.
That's a pretty easy scenario, and one that farmers had used prior to the big run-up in the price of corn between 2006, 7, 8, and 2012. So they'll be back to what normally they had been doing. Is that the way you're viewing the marketplace at this time?
Yeah, it's just that, you know, costs have gone up since then, so there's a concern that, you know, they may be planting a 2015 crop below cost.
So we'll look forward, Steve, to seeing you next week in Watseka at our Will Ag Outlook panel there. That is on Wednesday evening of next week. And I understand you're headed back to the office, so I want to thank you for giving us a call from the Farm Progress Show site this year. And we really do appreciate you taking the time with us today.
It was great to give some information to the farmers.
Thanks so much, Steve. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Of course, that's Steve Fried. He's with ADM Investor Services out of Chicago and talked to us from the Farm Progress Show site in Boone, Iowa. Now on the phone line with us from the Anderson's Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana, is Pete Peterson. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon.
Well, producers probably have been watching with some interest the price of corn, hoping that a bottom would come sooner rather than later, though I suspect they know there's a big crop out and that things are just trying to move through the marketplace. What's basis been like in your area?
Boy, basis has been on fire. Corn right now, it seems like in the area here, feed users are really trying to scrape all the bottom of the bins to find corn. Currently, we're at 5 over here. Bids, we were 5 over the December. There have been local bids recently as high as 20 to 30 over the September, just trying to find corn to get through the new crop. Bean basis levels by the processors, have ranged anywhere in the last 4 days from a $2.60 over the November to as high as $4 over the November for nearby delivery beans. It's just been crazy.
Thank you so much.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's the Feast of St. Monica, patron of homemakers and housewives. On this day in agricultural history in 1859, Colonel Edwin L. Drake drilled the first successful oil well in the U.S. near Titusville, Pennsylvania. The drilling hit oil at 69 feet 6 inches when under the derrick floor was seen a dark film floating on the water. In 1874, Carl Bosch was born. A German industrial chemist, he directed the development of the industrial scale processes for production of ammonia from atmospheric nitrogen. He eventually won the Nobel Prize for Chemistry for devising chemical high-pressure methods, like that which produced ammonia out of nitrogen and hydrogen gases. In 1879, Sir Rowland Hill died, an English educator. He was the inventor of the penny postage system, with the first adhesive postage stamp in 1840. In 1928, the Kellogg-Briand Pact was signed in Paris. It outlawed war and provided for the peaceful settlement of disputes. And in 1998, former U.S. Agriculture Secretary Mike Espy was charged with accepting more than $35,000 in gifts from companies that did business with USDA. He was eventually found innocent, but seven others were found guilty of similar charges. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is on the phone line to take up the weather forecast. Let's start in the Midwest, where we had quite a light show last night, at least in central and east central Illinois. The thunderstorms rolled through, and man, the lightning was something else. I suppose that came from the heat, maybe.
Well, probably it was partially driven by that, most definitely. This atmosphere is pretty stable in the fact that it's unstable, if that makes any sense to you. There is a lot of moisture in it. There's a lot of heat. So every afternoon we manage to bubble up a few more thunderstorms across parts of the region as the atmosphere destabilizes. And we're not seeing a lot of cool air coming into the area at the moment, so we're not getting those huge, large volume thunderstorm-producing events in a very large-scale manner. We are seeing some pockets of heavier rains, and those are probably going to continue for another few days, but eventually we'll get to the point where we'll see maybe a little bit better organized precipitation events. I think the area from Nebraska into Wisconsin will be one of those areas that we'll see repetitive thunderstorms of significance over this next, let's say, 5 days. And for the rest of the Midwest, it's going to be more of this isolated the scattered shower pattern and some locally heavy thunderstorms for sure, but most of the precipitation, especially when you get down to the Ohio River Valley, will likely be light until maybe early next week, and then we'll see some increased rainfall down there as well.
What concerns, if any, do you have across the Midwest and the Delta region today and through the next 2 weeks?
I don't have a lot of concern. There is some dryness that's going on from eastern parts of Kansas and Missouri into southwestern Illinois and down into the parts of the Delta. We've had, as we already mentioned, some of the heat here this week and a rather limited amount of moisture. So some of those areas are drying out rather significantly. But for the Delta, you know, that's great for some of the harvest that's going on there. It's a bit stressful, though, for crops from Kansas into parts of southern Illinois, although I will say that it was about a week and a half ago that we had torrential rains that occurred from southern Iowa and northern Missouri into southwest Illinois. So those areas aren't hurting nearly as much as places like eastern Kansas. The longer range outlook for these areas is certainly looking mostly favorable. I can't find too much in the way of real serious problems for these areas, which should see continued good opportunity here for field work to advance in the Delta and the southeastern states for a little while. No tropical systems are coming along, and whatever showers pop up are going to be relatively limited in their coverage and intensity.
We're a bit less than a month away from the autumnal equinox. Any concerns about colder weather conditions early this year as opposed to late?
Well, I guess it depends on location. If you're in the southern two-thirds of the Midwest, we will definitely have an early arriving frost and freeze date and probably get a good quick start on winter weather. Now, we're talking about October, November, so it's a long ways out in time. In the more near picture here, the upper parts of the Midwest will probably not have to deal with early frost and freezes, even though there's going to be some cool air pooling into the western parts of Canada and the northwestern U.S. I don't think that cold will be able to survive all the way into the upper parts of the Midwest. So we may be normal to a little bit later than normal for those areas.
Hey, thanks, Drew. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated joining us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report helps us to wrap it up. Don't forget, if you have the opportunity, join me along with Gary Schnicki from the U of I and Jackie Vakes, Wayne Nelson tonight at the Seed Shed in Ashmore, Illinois. Starts at 5 o'clock, sponsored by Farm Credit Illinois, the office in Paris. I hope to see you there. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.